This podcast is hosted on Podhome.fm, an intelligent podcasting platform that you can use to host unlimited shows and episodes and have unlimited downloads. Podhome comes with many intelligent features, like Podhome AI, which automatically creates transcripts, chapters, suggests titles, show notes, detects people, and creates clips. You can use Podhome AI unlimited for all your episodes and all your shows. Go check it out and start your free 7-day trial at podhome.fm.
Hello, America. It's your favorite president of all time, according to very reliable sources. I've done it all. Built skyscrapers, written bestsellers, and even had my own hit reality show where I perfected the art of the catchphrase. You're fired. Ring any bells? Of course it does. It's fabulous. It's famous. It's fantastic. But even more fantastic is the Great Sword of the Spirit podcast. Joe is a great teacher, folks. He really is. You should listen. You might even learn something, which would be great. Make Bible studies great again with Joe and the fantastic Sword of the Spirit podcast.
Premillennial, pre-tribulational, dispensational, independent, and standing on the inspired, preserved Word of God, the King James Bible, as our final authority. This is the Sword of the Spirit podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Joseph Russiello. Take your Bible, sit back, and join us as we open and study the Word of God. And now, here's your host.
Well, hey there, folks. This is Joe Russiello, and it is great to be with you once again as we open up and study the precious Word of God, your King James Bible. And you know, folks, as always, wherever and whenever you find yourself listening to us, it's always, always, always my prayer that you also find yourself in the grace and in the mercy of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Well, all right, folks, and we are live once again from the Asylum Studios, from the pimple on the backside of Texas, the beautiful, beautiful city of Eagle Pass. And you know something? Today started off as kind of like an overcast, rainy kind of day here, and but it was still a beautiful day, and it's turning out to be a beautiful afternoon and evening here. Just went out with the dogs for a little bit. And sun is shining again, and it's just a beautiful day. And you know something? The reason why it's so beautiful is because this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. Amen. And you know, folks, I hope that you made it out to church today on this Palm Sunday. And I trust that your pastor brought you a message that set a fire in your heart for the Lord, that set that burning in your heart for his word, and also renewed that burden that we should have for the lost and the dying that we come across every single day. Now, folks, it is Palm Sunday. It's a great day, and it's an important day on the, if you want to call it the Christian calendar. It's the day that the Lord Jesus Christ rode into the city of Jerusalem, made his triumphal entry, and we're going to be reading and studying that story today. And just the interesting thing about this is one of those few episodes in the gospel accounts that appears in all four gospels. It comes up in Matthew 21, Mark chapter 11, Luke 19, John chapter 12. So it's in all four gospels. And, consequently, we can understand that the Lord puts a lot of emphasis on this wonderful story. And we're going to examine that in just a little bit, and we're going to talk about it from a doctrinal standpoint, and then we're going to look at it and draw some practical applications from it. And I think that, and I pray that, they'll be a blessing to you. All right, now, before we get into today's message, I'm going to ask you to do just a couple of quick things for me. First of all, would you head over to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's swordofthespiritpodcast.com. When you get over there, head on over to our contact section, and why don't you send us off a message? Let us know whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, any questions, comments, cares, or concerns that you might have. And also, don't forget to send over your prayer request. Now, I am looking to start rebuilding that prayer list, so if you have any prayer requests that you'd like us to add to it, send it on over to us, or if you're just sending me a prayer request because you're looking for extra prayer, and you're okay with us putting it on the prayer list, let me know. Just put a little P.S. in there, if you would. And we're not going to put anything out that you're not okay with us putting out. And so if you don't like to use the web form, that's totally fine. You could always email me directly at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. Now, also, while you're on our fabulous website, that Mr. Producer has so diligently been working on, look for that support button on the homepage. And if you would, and if you could, help us out with a contribution in any amount. If you want to get a shout out, it should be a minimum of $16.11, whether it's $16.11. If you want to be daring and send us $1,006.11, that's great. We'd love to take that from you. Or if you contribute cryptos, any balance of $16.11, whether it's Satoshis, Bitcoin, whatever it is, we'll get you a shout out on the show today or the future show whenever you do make your contribution. But and the reason why we talk about it so much is because this is a value for value podcast. We have fully integrated ourselves into podcasting 2.0, and that's how we roll. We go through value for value, and the value for value system is basically this: it's you're donating your time, your talent, or your treasure. You can do any one of those three. You can do all three. You can do a combination of any of the three. However you find value in what we're doing here, you can help us out by making a contribution in the same. Like, for example, I use Mr. Producer all the time for it because it's a great example. But Mr. Producer donates his time and his talent in helping us do some productions with the podcast. Like, for example, he's rebuilt our website. He's working on our email list. He's helped produce some tracks for us that we'll be throwing up here in just a little while. And so he's been a real blessing to us, and I'm really thankful for him and for all the work that he's been doing. And I'm not sure if he's listening at the moment, but Mr. Producer, thank you again so much. God bless you for it, brother. I appreciate you. I really do. And we're really excited also because we're going to be launching out a show that we're going to be doing together, not necessarily going to be Bible-based, but it will have some scriptural spin to it, looking at current events and trying to apply scripture to it if where it's applicable, and talk about those things, expand on those things, and you know, basically just impart our two cents on these things. So we're excited about doing that, and so keep your eyes open for that down the road. But again, if you could help us out, we would appreciate it. So I want you to pray about it. And, you know, if these podcasts and these live shows have been a blessing to you in any way and you want to contribute value for value, we would really, really appreciate that. And when I tell you that your contributions go a very, very long way, they are extremely, extremely helpful. Without your contributions, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of the stuff that we're doing. So please, if you could, and if you really want to help us out, hit us up with that value for value. Just go to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com, go over to our support section, and you can send it over to us either through PayPal, or you can send it over to us through Satoshis, through your wallet. However you want to do it, we would really, really appreciate it. Now, as always, I like to stop here for a second and just give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for so many things. You know, it is such a blessing. It is such a blessing to be saved. And if it wasn't for the gift of salvation, I'd be on my way to hell. But I am so thankful, and especially at this particular time when you know, we're looking at Palm Sunday, and then we're thinking about, and just a couple of days from now, you know, the Lord's going to be crucified, you know, in the book and in history, and to know that He bore my sins on that cross. He bore your sin on that cross. He bore it in His body. His body was broken for you. He's shed His blood for you. And all that He asks is that you believe Him, ask that you trust Him, that His sacrifice, that His gift, that His shed blood is the all-sufficient means of your salvation, that it's not of any works that you have done. Your baptism doesn't save you. Taking communion doesn't save you. Going through the sacraments doesn't save you. You know, praying to Mary doesn't save you. The saints doesn't save you. Muhammad can't save you. All the pantheon of the Hindu gods can't save you. There's only one way, and that's through the door, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that door in the course of the message today. I also want to say thank you to the Lord for allowing me to have this privilege and this opportunity to serve Him. I mean, no matter what you do for the Lord, you're serving the Lord. You know, you don't have to have a ministry, like, you don't have to be a pastor of a church to be serving the Lord. You don't have to be, you don't have to do a podcast to serve the Lord. You serve the Lord wherever you are when you speak for the Lord and you represent a good witness for the Lord. You know, you have a ministry. You have a sphere of influence. You have people that you come in contact with every single day. And in a lot of ways, somebody said this once a long, long time ago, so it's not new to me. But in some cases, you might be the only Bible that someone else reads. So how are you representing the Lord? And it's a ministry opportunity that He gives you, and you should take full advantage of it. And again, I'm thankful for the opportunities that the Lord's given me over the years, and I am extremely thankful for this particular ministry that He's given me. It's a blessing, and I look forward to this. This is probably the highlight of my week, is to sit down with you and to talk to you about the Lord and about the things that He's done and the things He's going to do. So it's a real blessing, and I am incredibly, incredibly thankful for it. And you know, part of also is when you realize just how far-reaching a podcast can be. You know, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because, you know, I understand it. There's plenty. Trust me, I did a search once for podcasts like this one, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of podcasts like this. You know, but the fact that God has blessed us the way He has and He's using us the way He has, It's something that I really appreciate. And this is a platform that God has given me through this podcast, and it's been distributed all across this country, all across the plane on which we live. You know, it's a platform that that I get to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what a privilege, an absolute privilege that is. Now, I also want to say thank you to all of you who support us through your prayers. Thank you so very much for your prayers. God bless you for them. And please continue to pray for us. You know, we do have a lot of stuff going on. We have a lot of stuff going on. We have a, you know, we're building up our network, Mr. Producer and I, and you know, we're trying to get that thing off the ground. We have a number of folks that are interested in getting involved with this, for which we are extremely thankful and grateful for. A lot of help out there is being offered to us to get this thing off the ground, and again, extremely thankful and appreciative of that. And also, you know, we need your prayers, because this does take a lot of time out of our lives, out of our personal lives. I know Mr. Producer's out with his family. It's a holiday. It's Palm Sunday. It's church day. It's all that. And, you know, I have my obligations that I have to meet, too. And, you know, we study, we prepare, we try to come up with things that we could bring to the show and to bring to you, and that would be a blessing to you. And it takes a lot of time. It really does. And I'm thankful for your prayers, because without your prayers, I probably wouldn't be able to do as much as we do. So it's a real blessing to have you praying for us. And please continue to pray for this ministry. Please continue to pray for my family, for myself, also for our producer. And just thank you so very much for your prayers. I also want to say thank you to all of you who've been supporting us financially. God bless you, and thank you so much for your financial support. Again, your financial support is what keeps this thing moving. You know, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but, you know, we don't run ads on our show anymore. We stopped doing that some time ago. We are totally dependent and reliant upon God, and we are dependent and reliant upon your contributions. So thank you so much to everybody who has been supporting us financially. God bless you for it. Thank you so very much. And of course, I always want to say thank you to every single one of our listeners. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to spend with us here, whether it's live or whether it's listening later on as a podcast. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, we are trending in the top. We're on five categories on good pods, which is like the Goodreads for podcasting as they advertise it. You know, we're number one in five categories. You know, we're the number one show for the week. We're the number one show in the Christianity context. We're number one in the religion and spirituality category. We have the number one, two, three, and five show on the amount of plays and downloads for the week. And it's just a blessing. Thank you so very much. You know, and also we're seeing a lot of activity now on some of the more modern podcast platforms like Fountain and True Fans and Podcast Guru and so many of them. It's just a blessing to see it. And you know, now if you're using any of those platforms, you're going to see that you're going to get an announcement and a notification letting you know when the show is on the air, when we're live. So check them out. Great platforms. And if you do cryptos, you could connect your wallet to that, and you can send us boosts, which we would appreciate. So thank you so much. So again, thank you so much, everyone, for listening in. Thank you so much for sharing the show with everybody. And remember, please remember, very, very important, to you have to like, subscribe, and share it always with your friends, your family, and your followers. Because when you do that, you are helping us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I've kind of rambled on long enough there. How about we ramble on some more with some announcements? All right, folks. Well, Thursday night, we are continuing our studies on the indicators of the last days. Now, last Thursday night, we did not have a show. We sent out our email notification on that one. So if you're not on our email list, sorry, you didn't get it. But that should be your motivation to get on our email list. As you guys know, we've been going through some repairs from some storm damage that has taken place. And just past week, they were working in the studio trying to get the repairs done in here. So we're just about done with that in the studio, and we're in the process now of reattaching all of the acoustic foam and whatnot. So we're getting there. We're getting there. And I appreciate all your patience. And thank you so very much for it. So today is our first show back over the last week, and we're excited to be here. So Thursday night Bible study will resume this Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are talking about the indicators of the last days. We only have a couple of more episodes or shows left in this particular study. And then I'm debating what we're going to be doing in the next series for our Thursday nights. I have a couple of ideas. I think no matter which way I go, I think it's going to be a blessing to everybody. And so just pray about that the Lord will give me clarity on which study to embark on in the next couple of weeks. And then also our Sermon Sunday broadcast is right here, right now. We start at normally 3 p.m. Central Time, but we've been kind of starting a little bit later. And I think it's working better for us, and I think that's what we're going to stick to. So our Sermon Sunday broadcast will be at 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, every Sunday afternoon. So where can you hear it? Well, like I said, you could check us out on all of the modern podcasting apps. You can get those notifications letting you know when we are live. Or you can head over to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com. And right there on our homepage, we have a media player that you can listen in live. And when the show's not live, by the way, we are looping past shows. And not only ours, but from some partners of ours. So definitely, you should definitely check it out. And let us know what you think. Send us any comments that you might have. All right. Now, if you are in the Eagle Pass area and you're looking for a good King James Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church, why don't you consider paying us a visit over at First Baptist Church of Eagle Pass? We meet at 664 North Monroe. Our Sunday school hour starts at 10 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 11 a.m. Our Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday night Bible study meets at 7 p.m. Now, for more information, all you need to do is head over to the church's Facebook page. Just when you get onto Facebook, just search for First Baptist Church of Eagle Pass. It's the only one in Eagle Pass. And once you get there, you're going to find a lot of really helpful information. And you're also going to find some episodes of the podcast. And we are thankful to the church for allowing us to use the church's Facebook page to post the show and get it out there. It's a real blessing. Because like I've told you before, we don't have a Facebook page. I really don't want a Facebook page. I'm seeing the necessity of having a Facebook page, though, so as far as spreading the show out. But I'm really trying to avoid it as much as I possibly can. So we're going to work on that, and we'll get back to you. All right. But again, thank you to the church. Thank you also to our pastor and my great friend, John Monk, for all of his support, his encouragement, and his enthusiasm about the show. I love that when I talk to him, he always asks how we're doing, and he's always interested in knowing where in the world we're being heard. And it's great to see the excitement that he gets from it, and it's a blessing. And he's a good man, and I love him, and I am extremely thankful to the Lord for putting me in a position where I can learn and sit under him as a pastor. And as a teacher, and it's just been a real blessing to me, and I'm so very thankful for him. All right, how about Chase? Have I told you about the Three Pillars podcast? Well, the Three Pillars podcast is a great podcast put out by my friend Chase Tobin, and he focuses on your personal growth utilizing the three pillars of fitness: spiritual, mental, and physical. Now, Chase puts out a new episode every week, every Friday or Saturday morning. I usually get it on a Saturday morning, and it's a blessing to be able to sit down with a cup of coffee and just listen to Brother Chase as he talks. And he has a great episode out this week. Should definitely check it out. You can find his video versions on YouTube and Rumble at Three Pillars Podcast. And you could also find him on his website at threepillarspodcast.wordpress.com. Now, for the audio version, you could find it on all of your favorite podcasting platforms or wherever you get your podcasts. He puts out a great show, and it's a real blessing to you. You should definitely check him out. And also, you know, Brother Chase is going to be one of those guys that are partnering with us on our network once we get it launched. All right. Just also want to remind you about our programming announcements. As I indicated earlier, you could shoot me an email at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com, or you can email our producer at swordofthespiritpodcast.com, and we will get you on the mailing list. The link right now is still not up and running on the website. We're having a problem with we use MailChimp, and we're having a problem getting that integrated into the website, so we're looking at other options right now. So in the meantime, send us over that list. Send us over your email address, and we will get you on the mailing list. It's really important to be on the list because, you know, we do the two shows. We do Thursday and Sunday, and in between Sunday and the following Thursday, there's a lot of time in between. Things change, and as we've been discovering, it's easier for us to reach you and give you updates if we had your email address. So let us know, get on the mailing list, and stay in the know. All right, another partner of ours. These are a bunch of great guys. This is the War Tribe Armory, located right here in Eagle Pass, Texas, up on US 57. If you are in the market for a new weapon, new firearm, they're the place to go check them out. All right, they offer Cerakote services, engraving, cleaning, stippling, restoration, refinishing, repairs. They also do custom builds, gun sales, magazines, holsters, and trade-ins. They're also an FFL licensed dealer, so you can do your FFL transfers through the War Tribe Armory. And great bunch of guys. It's veteran owned and operated. It's definitely something that if you are in the Eagle Pass area or within range of Eagle Pass, come on out, check them out. They're a great bunch of guys. You could find them on Instagram at wartribe.armory. You can also find them on Facebook at War Tribe Armory. You can also email them at wartribearmory1133@gmail.com. All right, Armory One. Armory One is a great operation. If you remember, I've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. We hosted a license to carry class over at the ranch this weekend. We did a class yesterday, class today, and great turnout for the class. Had a great time. And it's good too because, you know, I've been through the class a couple of times, and it's great. It's a great refresher to sit through, you know, Brother Carl, he's a great teacher with this stuff. Knows this stuff inside and out, like encyclopedic, and learned so much from him as we've been working together on these things. And it's been a blessing. And yesterday we had a great time at the ranch, and it was great to have him out here for dinner last night, and spent some time after the class was done. Now, his company, Armory One, provides Texas license to carry certification and leverages over 30 years of military and law enforcement experience in instructing students in the safe use of firearms. Armory One also offers numerous courses on self-defense with a handgun, active shooter preparedness, home defense, and so much more. You can check out Armory One on their website at armoryone.com, and we will let you know when more classes are coming. Again, real great time, a lot of really helpful information, and definitely something you should be looking into. All right, let's see. How about the socials? All right, so we are on Twitter/X at the SOTS podcast. You can check us out there. Haven't really been on there too much. But definitely something, you know, get on. If you're on Twitter and you want to follow us there, we will follow you back. No problem. Let's see what else. We have TikTok at the SOTS podcast. I've been kind of on there a little bit more, trying to get used to my way around on there. We're also on Getter, Truth Social, Locals, and Rumble, as well as SOTS podcast. So definitely look for us there and check us out. And it would be a blessing to connect with you on those as well. All right. We don't have any listener birthdays to announce for today, so we're not going to do that. And so that means that in record time, we made it to break number one. So we're going to take a short break here, and that'll give you a chance to go get yourself some coffee, maybe a bottle of water or something. And then when you get back, we're going to get into tonight's message. And it's just a very simple message on Palm Sunday. And I hope and I trust that it's going to be a real blessing to you. All right, folks, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends, your family, and your followers. That way, you'll help us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Barry of Pothome.fm and the Improving Barry podcast. You're listening to the Sword of the Spirit podcast on swordofthespiritpodcast.com and pothome.fm.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is given to you in life, will be open in the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor and condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts. The King James Bible, God's holy book.
Well, amen, amen, and amen. Now, tonight, let's see, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 21. All right, let's go over to Matthew and chapter 21. Now, I don't always preach a Palm Sunday message on Palm Sunday. I'm not one of those guys that really, you know, I've sat under other pastors and teachers, and basically they all say the same things. That, you know, just because it's a holiday or a special day doesn't mean you have to preach a message on it, right? But for some reason, I got the itch to do it today, so that's what we're going to do. All right, Matthew chapter 21 in your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. You know, the Lord's in the habit of doing that. You know, he's in the habit of sending two people in a lot of different places. And the more you go through the Word of God, the more you survey the Word of God, you're going to find a lot of evidence of that. Saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them under their and put on them clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Father, I trust you by your grace, by your mercy, by your providential care for every human soul on this plane, that you would bless the passage that we have read in our hearts and in our ears. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts and minds to understand. Give us an appetite for thus saith the Lord. And peradventure, if there are those listening today or in the days to come that have never reached out in simple, childlike faith and trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, may this be a grand day. A day of salvation. We long to see people saved, Lord, and we thank you for it. In the name of our blessed Savior, we pray. Amen. All right, now this passage is known as Palm Sunday. And of course, it took place the Sunday before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus, all right, well, this is another sermon. All right, so I'm not going to linger on here too long, but, you know, Jesus wasn't crucified on Friday. You understand that? A lot of people, you know, that's just religious tradition, okay? Now, the Bible is very clear that Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the grave, or his body was. Well, how do you get 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday? That's not good math, is it? No, it's not. It's not good math at all. Now, I can show you from Scripture on another occasion, we'll do it, but that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. And you see, a Jewish day goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. All right, our day goes from 12 to 12. But in the Jewish economy, it goes from 6 to 6. So Jesus was crucified on Wednesday afternoon. They rushed to put him in the grave just prior to 6 p.m. So he was there Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and he came out of the tomb Saturday evening, and then he led the captivity captive, and then on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene met him in the garden. Now, if you very carefully examine all of the New Testament passages, you'll come up with that exact very thing. And the only reason why that I mention it is really this. I find it absolutely incredible and amazing that the populace on Sunday is saying, Hosanna to the King. They're praising the Lord. he's encountered by a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and on Wednesday they murder him. Isn't that wild? That's a wild thing when you really stop and think about it. Boy, you know, I'm telling you, the news media can just turn on a dime, man, can't they? And that's just evidence of that. Just like that. Just like that. You know, of course, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and, you know, all the heavyweights of Jewish religiosity of the day weren't necessarily part of that crowd that was saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were always, always his adversary. They were always his enemy. No question about it. But the passage itself, it's a marvelous picture of the second advent of Jesus Christ. It also has some peculiarities that kind of set it apart from the second advent. But there are some similarities. First of all right, how about, let's consider the similarities first, all right? So the Bible teaches that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return with a heavenly army and will establish his kingdom on this earth. It'll be a kingdom so powerful that every other kingdom on this plane will be subservient to his kingdom, because the Bible says he will rule with a rod of iron. The capital for this earthly kingdom is going to be in Jerusalem. It won't be Moscow. It won't be Washington, D.C., certainly. It won't be London. It won't be Beijing. It'll be Jerusalem. All right, now, having been said, the kingdom will be established, and what's taking place here is just one tiny little microscopic prototype of what's to come. But when we get over to Revelation chapter 19 and study that advent, the second coming of the Lord, we notice there are some very distinct differences. In that advent, he'll come in all of his glory. When he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he did so in his absolute humility. And we're about to see that demonstrated for us right here. For example, at the advent, he's going to come on a fire-breathing white stallion. And man, that's going to be quite a deal. I mean, when you really examine that thing, yeah, and the heavenly hosts come behind him, an army of such scope and such breadth that the world is just going to shudder and shake, and the words of Zechariah, tremble at its coming. However, here, it's a relatively small event, and Jesus isn't riding a horse. He's riding the foal of an ass. Now, you know, some people try to make it sound nice. You know, they say, well, he's riding a mule. He's not riding a mule, all right? A mule's a hybrid, all right? Anybody knows that. It's a cross between an ass and a horse. You know, he's riding nothing but a lowly donkey, okay, if that makes you feel better, all right? And he's riding a foal of one, unbroken. It's never been ridden, Mark tells us in his gospel. But why is this taking place? And why is this animal the particular object of our concern? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go over to the book of Job and chapter 11. Job chapter 11. All right, Job chapter 11. Just going to get a little sip here. Hold on. Job chapter 11 and verse 12. You know, the Bible uses a lot of things in this world to picture spiritual principles. You may have noticed that if you studied your Bible. For example, animals are often utilized. And there are actually two animals in your Bible that are considered pictures of great strength. Do you know what they are? One is a lion, and the other is a horse. They're both demonstrators of great strength. Trees represent a lot of different kinds of people. The Green Bay tree is a picture of the wicked. A palm tree is a demonstration of righteousness, hence Palm Sunday. The fig tree is a picture of Israel. And so it is when we read over here in Job chapter 11 and verse 12. For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. So do you know what this wild ass is a picture of in your Bible? Well, it's a picture of an unsaved human being. Not broken, not trained, not tamed, just wild, man, just crazy, maniac-type wild sometimes. Now, the reason we know that for sure is found over in the book of Exodus. So now take your Bible and go with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. You know, a little Bible study never hurt anyone, right? Never hurts. Oh, that Congress would just engage in some. Now, this cannot be coincidental. All right. Now, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 13. Okay. Did you catch it? Exodus 13, verse 13. Now, I'm a numbers nut. Okay. But numbers in your Bible all have significance. And if you remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. 13 is what? 13 is the number of your curse. So here we are in the 13th chapter, in the 13th verse, just coincidentally, we read, "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all of the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." Now, God didn't say you had to redeem the firstling of a horse. He didn't say the firstling of an elephant. He didn't say the firstling of anything else. But he said this one particular animal, the firstling of an ass, needs to be redeemed. Well, why is that? Because that animal that pictures the lost, unregenerate, unconverted human being. And consequently, it has to be redeemed. Now, when you redeem something, what are you doing? You're buying it back, right? You buy it back. And so this animal is in great necessity of being redeemed. But it can't be redeemed with money. It can't be redeemed with gold or silver. It can't be redeemed by someone's good works. It can't be redeemed by church or religion. It can only be redeemed by one thing. And the price of the redemption is found in the lamb. The idea of the thing is, the lamb must die so that the foal, the firstling of the ass, may live. You think that's a coincidence? Do you suppose that this is just part of God's plan that he put in motion way back before eternity began? Redemption? So here's the picture. Here's the picture. Unsaved people without Christ, people without a hope of eternity, people without assurance of the forgiveness of their sins, must be redeemed. And there's only one thing that can redeem them, and that's the Lamb. So consequently, it's no coincidence that John the Baptist pointed at the Lord Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It's beyond coincidence that the book of Revelation, 27 times refers to Jesus Christ as the Lamb. The Lamb. So that's the picture that's being presented here. All right? So if the firstling of the ass is not redeemed, then what's the alternative? Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And verse 22. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 22. In type now. The Lord has gone from the type to a more vivid picture. All right. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 22. 21, 22. "If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land may not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." Well, let me see. Wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ hanged on a tree? Wasn't his body removed before the day was concluded? He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took our curse. The curse is to be hanged on a tree. Do you know what the result of hanging on a tree is? It's a broken neck. It's death. Jesus died for me. All of that is being presented in this picture of Palm Sunday. But now let's go back to our text, because there's a lot of other things that we have to unpack there. All right, Matthew chapter 21, one more time. Matthew chapter 21. Now, what I find here in verse 2, "saying unto them,
go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied. All right, so he's tied up. You know, that's another picture of the unsaved, lost, unregenerate individual. They're tied up. Now, they may not realize they're tied up, but they are tied up. All right, now, being tied up, and what does that really demonstrate to us? What does that demonstrate? They're tied up to sin. Look with me over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and I know we're running a lot of scripture, but, you know, it's good for us. Amen? It's good for us. All right. Now, Romans chapter 6, Paul doctrinally elaborates on this principle. All right. The unsaved individual is tied to something. They have no awareness of it necessarily, but they are. They're tied up. They have not enjoyed the freedom that comes in Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's liberty. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's great liberty. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of that ye were the servants of sin. Now I want you to notice, were, past tense. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, but for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. All right, now you're tied to one thing or the other. You're tied to sin, or you're tied to freedom. I don't know about you, but I prefer freedom. Amen? Thank you very much, Lord, for freedom. Thank you. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, by the way. Make you free is what the book says. And little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, the more the truth of the Word of God is assimilated into our hearts and to our minds, the freer we become. We are indeed a free people. I think it was Horace Greeley that said this. He said, it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork for human freedom. And I believe that. I believe that. And if America returned to reading the Bible, a whole lot of problems would get straightened out really quick. That's all it would take. Just folks reading the Word of God. So the cult is tied. All right, now go with me over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Let's get Mark's, just a glance at Mark's version of the story. Now, someone may ask, this story is in all four Gospels? Yeah, it's in all four Gospels. And yet everyone presents a little different slant or a little different detail. Well, and someone would say, well, why don't we get all the details in just one story? Because then you wouldn't read the other three Gospels. Amen? You know, the Lord is pretty smart in how he orchestrated this whole thing. You know what the Lord, don't you think the Lord knows what he's doing? I would think so. All right, so we got something here in Mark. We'll pick it up in Mark 11 and verse 5. Mark 11, verse 5. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? All right, now here come these two dudes. Jesus sent them over there to that little village, and he said, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find this colt and its mother tied up there, and you're just going to loose them and bring them back to me. And if someone objects, there are always objectors, aren't there? And don't you think the Lord knew that ahead of time? Do you think the Lord's introducing into this whole scenario just a little bit of Bible prophecy? The objectors are always there. Anytime you are simply trying to loose someone that's tied to the hitching rail of sin, there's someone around that's going to object. And sometimes, you know, the objection is very subtle, and sometimes they're very sophisticated in their sounding. Well, you know, he's a religious individual. Well, you know, that guy's great granddad was a Baptist preacher. And you've heard people say, well, my whole family, you know, we grew up in church. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. So does that mean if you were born in a garage, that makes you a car? You know, salvation's an individual thing. It's an individual thing. It's Christianity is an individual relationship with Jesus Christ. And no one can make that decision for you except you. God won't even force it upon you. You know, God respects the human will that he put in you. Amen? He desires for everyone to get saved. He's not willing that any should be lost. But he doesn't put a gun to anybody's head and say, here, you got to trust Christ. Now, some of us are more boneheaded than others. Some of us took longer. You know, some of us had to be exposed to more preaching. You know, it took 30 years to get through this thick New York Sicilian skull of mine. You know, some of us, it took a while. But it was through the power and the influence and the persuasion of the Holy Spirit that brought us to a place of conviction. There's a huge difference there. Huge difference. So there are always the objectors. Always those around. You know, and thank God that he can give us wisdom in knowing how to deal with them. Well, look with me in... In fact, as a matter of fact, you know, let's take a quick side trip over to 2 Timothy, because this is actually a verse that I was actually talking to someone about just a few days ago. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, some people get so adamant about against the gospel and that they have no idea that they're opposing themselves. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, since I've been spending so much time out at the ranch lately, I've learned a lot, actually, by talking to and watching some of the other ranchers that are out there that I've met. You know, remember, New York City, Sicilian here, okay? I don't know, you know, how many of you listening know what a round pen is, but I didn't know until very recently. And it just, when I saw it and I looked at it, it just clicked. Ranchers use round pens when they're starting up colts. Okay, you know, you get that colt into a round pen, and what's he going to do? Well, he's going to run away. But he's in a round pen, so he can't go very far. So really all he can do is go in circles, and that's all he can do, just go in circles. And I was watching some of these guys do this, and they'd back away and let him run. And then pretty soon he stops, and then he would look at you, and you take a couple of steps toward him. You know, and again, I'm just describing this the best way I can. You know, these guys... You know, that have hands-on experience can probably do a lot better than I can explaining it to you. But, so you just watch it. They take a couple of steps, and then, boom, off he goes. You back away, and you let him run. You back away, and you let him run. And you go through this, and pretty soon, you know, maybe it's not two steps, but maybe it's four, maybe it's five steps. And then he looks. He gets nervous, and off he goes again. And after he runs and runs and runs, and he's going, he just may let you approach him. And very carefully and very slowly, very tenderly, you just reach out and let him sniff your hand a little bit. That's all. Just sniff your hand a little bit. And he stands there and he's a little nervous. And he's trying to make up his mind. Do I go? But I'm tired. Do you know what he's been doing? He's been opposing himself. You haven't been hurting him. And slowly you're hoping that he figures that out. He's opposing himself. And so you get to where you can, and so you get to the point where you can scratch his ears a little bit, you know, pet him on the neck a little bit. And slowly, 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 the process continues until it finally dawns on him that, you know, if I just stand here, I can rest, and this guy isn't going to hurt me. Scratch my ears. yeah, you know, it's not too bad after all. And so slowly it starts to dawn on him, you know, through a process of many days in the round pen, that it doesn't pay to oppose yourself. Go with the leader. You know, we find ourselves caught in that trap all too often of opposing ourselves when the Lord says, just stand still, stupid. I'll scratch your ears. Just stand still. Opposing ourselves. The opposition is always there, but some of the greatest opposition doesn't come from without, but it comes from within. From within. Well, that's not all. Let's go back to Mark. Mark has some contributions to make on the subject here. Mark in chapter 11, again, and in verse 3. Mark chapter 11, verse 3. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. Now that's something right there. That's something. The Lord hath need of him. You know, when the Lord saved you, he didn't save you just to lie around like a bump on a road. He saved you because he has a purpose and a plan. The Lord reaches down in all of his magnificent mercy, and he whispers in every one of our ears, I need you. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, you know, what kind of God is that? The creator of the universe needs us? Hey, that's not a demonstration of weakness on his part. That's in all of heavenly clarity, a picture of the mercy of God. God's mercy, when he says, I need you. You know, I'm reminded of a guy over in Acts chapter 9. He was a rascal. He was a rogue. He was a renegade. And he was occupying himself with a business that he later confesses was his greatest sin, persecuting the church. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And, you know, old Saul was on the road to Damascus one day. And isn't it funny how some of these names keep popping up in everyday news, like Damascus? Heard about it a little while ago before the show went on the news. But that's another sermon. We'll get into that another time. And so Paul was on his way to Damascus to meet to mess with some more Christians, right? And you know what the Lord says? And the Lord says, you know what I think? I think I'm going to mess with him. Folks, when the Lord decides to mess with you, you better watch out. You better watch out. So he says, I'm going to mess with him a little bit. So what does he do? He just flat out knocks him to the ground. He blinds him for a little while and has a little word with him. And he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, is that you, Lord? Mm-hmm. That'd be me. Now, God didn't make Saul do anything, but he sure got a little persuasive. You know, the Lord can do that. And when he spoke a little later to that guy whose house he was sending him to, a guy by the name of Ananias, he told Ananias, I have need of him. I'm going to use that guy. Well, what are you going to use him for, Lord? I'm going to use him to be a witness and a testimony before kings and Gentiles and princes. I'm going to use that guy in an unprecedented kind of way. I have need of him. Well, you know, I'm no Apostle Paul. I'm sure God has no plans like that for me. Listen, your witness to just one person may make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. The Lord says in his benevolence, in his grace, he says, I have need of you. Wow. Just think about that. Man, sign me up. Sign me up. Well, over in Mark chapter 11, verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. Now, you know something? I'm just one of those guys that are just crazy enough to believe that every word of God is pure. Do you know why I believe that? Because he said so. That's why I believe it. The words of the Lord are pure words. Notice it's plural. Words. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Whew. Now, I believe every word in this story has great heavenly significance. And so, to me, it's beyond coincidence that the colt is tied by a door. Let me ask you something. Who's the door? Didn't Jesus say, "I am the door"? Isn't he the door of Revelation 3? Isn't he the door of the scriptures? Isn't he the door to the sheepfold? He's the door. And so this colt is tied to a place, and what's standing right next to him? The door. Jesus Christ is there and available for the untying, for the loosing of this wild colt that has never been ridden. Go with me over to John chapter 10. John in chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 7. And I want to show this to you because I just want you to know that I'm not messing with you. All right? I want you to have the verses. All right? John chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Who's the door? Well, we know who the door is. But that's not all. Mark tells us that the colt was tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. Now, I wonder why the Lord thought it was necessary to inform us. You know, okay, fine. He's at the fork in the road, quite clearly. Amen? He's at a fork in the road. All right? Now, why do we need to know that? I mean, what's that got to do with anything? I mean, you know, the Lord is just being, you know, is the Lord just being super descriptive in his geographical assessment of where all this is taking place? Or why? Where a fork in the road is essentially is, there has to be something there. There has to be something there. Well, I'm glad you're curious. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. A fork in the road. You know, every human being on this plane faces a fork in the road when it comes to a decision about Jesus Christ. Amen? You come to a fork. You can go one way or you can go the other way. The choice is yours. It's totally your choice. I mean, did you ever come to a fork in the road when you couldn't make up your mind which way to go? I remember one time years ago up in when I was still living up in New York, me and some friends went to upstate New York, and we were on this back road. It was just a mess of a road. And mind you, this is the days before they had cell phones and GPS and all that stuff. So you had to have a map where you had to have really well written out directions. And we were driving along, and if I remember right, we were off the map somewhere along the way, and we came to this fork in the road. And we had to decide which way we're going to go. We're going to go to the right, to the left, you know, which way? And we were looking at it, and my friend said to me, he goes, "It's this way." "Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm positive. It's this way." "I don't know, dude. It doesn't look right." "Yeah, that's the way to go." "I don't know, man. I'm not sure." "Yeah, come on. We got to go this way." So I listened to him. All right. Look, I'm an adult too. My fault. I listened to him. We made the turn, and we're driving along. And we're driving along, and there's nothing in sight anywhere. Absolutely nothing in sight anywhere. And I'm looking at the gas tank. We're in the middle of nowhere in upstate New York, you know? And I'm looking at the gas tank here, and I see him looking at the gas tank, and the guy in the back seat was looking at the gas tank. And, you know, and I said to him, I said, "You know something, we're getting to the point here where if we have to turn around, we're going to be in big trouble." And he goes, no, it's this way. I'm telling you, it's this way." All of a sudden, the road turned into a minefield. Like just holes and boulders and everything. You name it, it was in the road. Got out of the car, I looked at him, wanted to kill him. You know, I didn't know what else to do. I just wanted to kill him at that point because we're almost out of gas, we're in the middle of nowhere. We took the wrong way. Did you ever come to a fork in the road and say, "Lord, I need your help here. I don't know which way to go in this thing." And, you know, I've come to several forks in my life. And I remember very distinctly the times where I said, "Lord, help me to take the right fork." Have you ever prayed that concerning your own soul? I mean, when you look at your eternal soul that's going to live forever in heaven or hell, have you ever just looked heavenward and said, "Oh, God, help me to take the right fork"? You know, it could be that. and partial answer to that prayer is why you're listening to this podcast today, helping you to get a vision of the right fork. So Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You see, God didn't force them into a choice. He offered them a choice and encouraged them to make the right choice. Is that not so? That's exactly what he did. So, where two ways met. And so, one more time, a little journey back into Mark chapter 11, and let's see what else. Let's see what other little nuggets we can dig out over here. There must be a few, right? At least another two or three. Verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus. All right, so they brought the colt to Jesus. And what did they do when they brought the colt to Jesus? And cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Now, I want you to get the picture here. The picture is this wild colt that's never been ridden. The Gospels tell us, and he's an absolute picture of an unsaved individual who's in great need of redemption. And they bring him to Jesus and set Jesus on him. No record of bucking, snorting, running off, anything. No record of it. You see, when Jesus is really in control, everything's cool, man. Everything's calm. Everything's wonderful when Jesus is in control. And they clothed him. Now, what's that all about? That's got to be about something. You can't just pass that by and say, well, yeah, that's a nice little story. They put clothes on. I mean, really, folks? Really? That's kind of out of the ordinary, don't you think? Do you normally put clothes on a colt? You know, maybe a saddle, maybe a blanket, but clothes? Clothes. Well, the clothes are obviously a picture of something that's worthy of our investigation. Keep your finger here in Mark and go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. You know, the Bible interprets itself, if you allow it to. It'll interpret itself. But in order to do that, you have to read it. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Boy, man, there's about three sermons in that verse right there. Like, I can go off on that, but let's just confine ourselves to the clothing, okay? Do you know what's being discussed here in Isaiah? The garment of salvation. The garment of salvation. And so this wild colt who's in desperate need of redemption is being clothed in the garment of salvation with Jesus Christ in control. When you get saved, when you really trust Jesus Christ, do you know what you're asking him to do? Yes, you're asking him to forgive you of all your sin. Yes, you're trusting him for eternal life. You're confessing to him your sinnership. But you're also asking him to take charge of your lousy, rotten, miserable life. Just say, Lord, you take charge. Now, if you're not willing to do that, then, and I'm very reluctant to tell you this, but I have to. If you're not willing to do that, your destiny is not going to be pleasant. Ask him to take charge. So the Lord is put in control of him. The Lord is in control of him. So now go to Romans chapter 12 with me for a minute. Romans chapter 12. You know, I really don't make any apology for it. You know, I'm a Bible preacher. Okay? I got books and books full of tear-jerking stories, and every now and then I'll pull one out, but what's really going to last as a permanent residence in your soul is not the best stories that I can pull out of my illustration books. What's going to last is the Word of God. The Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, here in Romans chapter 12, I hope you're familiar with these verses, but if you're not, let's rehearse them a little bit. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The Lord needs to be put in control as we submit. As we submit. Do you know what that round pen reasoning was all about? Come on, you know what it is. You know what it is. Come on. That colt has to learn step by step to submit. That's all. And you know, the real trainer knows that it's not a harsh process. It's a gentle process. Aren't you glad the Lord's gentle with you? Aren't you glad that the Lord cares enough for you to be gentle with you? So the Apostle Paul then appeals to us and he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I'm pretty sure that I've said this before, and it's worth repeating. The problem with a living sacrifice is that it continually wants to crawl off the altar. Is that not so? Yes, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. Yeah, I want to be a living sacrifice. I know you don't want me to be a dead sacrifice, just like you didn't want Isaac to be a dead sacrifice. So, Lord, I'm happy to be a living sacrifice, but let me just, you know, kind of slide off here for a little bit. You know? And that's the deal, man. That's the deal. All right. I have just one more point. Let's hit it. All right. Let's go back to our original text in Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. And, you know, over the years, I've had people say to me, well, preacher, you know, it seems like you extract a lot of information, a lot more from these passages than I see. Yeah, well, let me tell you what the problem might be. The problem might be that you don't spend enough time in there. The problem might be you don't spend enough time in there. You know, one of my Bible teachers told us once, and it stuck with me over the years, he said, every time I preach a text, I try to read through that text before I preach it at least 30 times. 30 times. I thought, if we preachers need to read it 30 times, so do you. So do you. Isn't that right? There's a lot of these things in the Bible if we just slow down, kill the smartphone, turn the computer off, turn off the TV, find a quiet place, and just slowly read it. Cogitate on it. Assimilate it. Like you're slowly chewing a piece of wonderful steak. Just labor with it for a while. All right, Matthew 21 and verse 10. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Well, the answer of the multitude was correct in as much as they knew, but he was so much more. He was so much more than just a prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. You know, look at the crowd's Holy Spirit assessment back in verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Well, I don't know how theologically astute this crowd was. I mean, think of it, probably not too much in that, you know, their leaders did greatly err not knowing the scriptures according to Jesus Christ. But I just have an inkling that, you know, the Holy Spirit put that in their mouths and put that in their hearts when they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Well, why David? Why did the blind man call out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me? You know, as you assess all the prominent personalities of the Old Testament, you look at Moses, right, who was a prophet, and then you look at those that were kings, you know, there's only one man in the Old Testament that fulfill the type and the picture of all three offices, prophet, priest, and king, and that was David. And so it's beyond coincidence that we read, Hosanna, thou son of David. The scriptures declare that one day Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of his father, David. Boy, you know, how this thing is synchronized and how it all meshes together when you really begin to study it. Who is this man? Jerusalem cried out. The cameras were there. I mean, if you could put a, you know, just put a modern day setting on it, you know, CBS, and NBC, CNN, Fox News, they're all there. Who is this man? Hey, you know something? One day they will be there. And one day they're going to ask precisely the same question. Who is this man? And those of us, members of the heavenly army, the body of Jesus Christ, will say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 9 is a picture, not only historically, but of something yet to come. My heart aches for that day. I long for that day when the real King of Kings will be exalted to his rightful position. What position have you given him in your heart? In your life? In your destiny? In your future? You may be at a crossroad. Pick the right one. Pick the door. Pick Jesus Christ. And we'll be back after this. Stay with us.
The Bible says my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Yet
You're listening to the Sword of the Spirit podcast on swordofthespiritpodcast.com and podhome.fm.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen, amen, and amen. Welcome back to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Joe Russiello, and happy Palm Sunday to everybody out there listening. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen in, whether it's live or as a podcast later on. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day for it. Well, I just want to give you just a few little updates here, and then we'll go through our this week's shout-outs, and then we'll say goodnight. Let's see. So some updates. Now, I've told you that we've been working our way getting off of the legacy podcasting platforms like Spotify and whatnot. So we are now officially off of Spotify. We're off of iHeart and TuneIn. Well, you might be thinking to yourself, well, you're crazy. Those are the big boys. Why are you getting yourself off those things? Don't you need them? No, I don't. Because they basically, they market, they do ads, they do all that stuff. And we really, I have no control over what they're posting, what they're doing with it. And, I don't need that. We're trying to do something here for the Lord, and I don't need them advertising things that would go against Scripture. So that's one thing. The other thing, too, is that, we're looking to focus more on the podcasting 2.0 and the modern podcasting apps. I feel like they have just so much more to offer, and they're more directed and more based, more appropriate for small independent podcasts like ours and others, where like place like Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, you're not gonna get any real exposure anytime or any type of promotional opportunities with them unless you are corporate sponsored. We are not. Our operation depends totally upon the Lord and upon your generosity to us. So we appreciate that, and we're thankful for it. And we'll get to those. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself just a little bit. So let me pull the reins back, so to speak, and come back to that in just a moment. So I have a question for you guys. If you'd like to chime in on this one, please shoot me an email at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. Should we try to get on YouTube again? I mean, we're on YouTube. We have a few of our shows on YouTube. Haven't been updating it or anything like that because really just I'm not a big fan of YouTube and their policies and practices. So definitely have been more active on Rumble. But again, this is an audio podcast. I'm a traditionalist. I'm a purist when it comes to podcasts. And I believe that a podcast should be audio. Besides that, I don't really have a face for video. So that's why we really don't do video stuff. So, but if you think that we should try at least to get back up on YouTube again and start updating the show from there, even though it's only audio, let me know what you think. info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. All right, let's see. So I want to give you a little update here on the storm damage that we've been dealing with. As I indicated earlier, the studio, the major repairs to the ceiling and whatnot has been made. We're in the process of reinstalling the foam padding, the acoustic padding. I'm very, very thankful, and you have no idea how thankful I really am to the Lord that we didn't experience more damage to the equipment that we use, the mixing boards, the computers, the mics, and whatnot. They did get wet. I was concerned about them not functioning properly, but it seems like after running fans on them for 2 or 3 days, it helped. I pick up little things here or there, but nothing that's really impeding the operation of it. So again, I'm thankful for that and for everybody who's prayed and have supported us through the GoFundMe that Mr. Producer set up. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. There's still a lot of work to get done. So if you are still so inclined to continue to help us out with that, we would appreciate that. You can find the GoFundMe link on our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com. And also it is in the show notes that you'll be able to see once the show is published for the podcast. So again, thank you so much to everybody who's already contributed. Thank you very much. It has helped quite a bit. We still have a need for it. So if you could, help us to meet at least a portion of the goal that we had set to get everything paid up until the insurance and everything comes through and, they finish doing their thing and dispersing the reimbursements, we would really appreciate that. Again, the link to the GoFundMe is on our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com, and also in the show notes. All right, so how about we get to some of our shout-outs? Now, we started doing this a couple of weeks ago, if anyone makes a contribution, whether it's through Boosts or whether it's through PayPal or Satoshis or Bitcoin, whatever, If you come in at $16.11 on PayPal, $16.11 sats, $16.11 in Bitcoin, or if you're really daring, like I say earlier, if you're really daring, want to send us $1,611, we'd appreciate that incredibly and very, very much. It would go to paying for the repairs here for sure. So thank you. If you're inclined to do that, I'm going to thank you in advance. So please pray about it. And if the Lord leads you to do it, please, we would appreciate it. Now, what I've been doing is since we're working on this for the repairs, any and all contributions that we've been receiving, whether it's boosts or otherwise, are going to be applied to the repair costs for the studio and for the roof repairs. So, again, thank you so very much for it. Now, this week, we've had a few contributions. We had a couple that came in below the 1611 mark. So, like I said, you know, we're not going to mention what that is or call them out or shout them out by name. But we do appreciate your contributions. Thank you so very much for it. When we hit that 1611 mark, you know, we'll shout you out there. We'll get your name out there. All right. But we want to say thank you to Nathan A. with a contribution of $53, which was wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm curious, though, why an odd number like that. But maybe if you want to email me and tell me, I'm just curious. I'm burning with curiosity. So thank you, Nathan, for $53. Stephanie W. has sent over $50. Thank you very much, Stephanie. And Mary B., who I think is the Mary who had a question for us on our last show, with a contribution of $50. So, again, thank you, folks, for your contributions. Again, everything that we've been receiving is going toward the repairs that we're looking at. And, again, I really appreciate that. Thank you so very much. And you definitely deserve the round of applause for it. So thank you. All right. Now, you could also, you know, through the modern podcasting apps, you could go to, I just forgot the name of the, I just forgot the website. Mr. Producer, if you're out there, could you let me know the name of the website? Modernpodcastingapps.com or something to that effect. It's on our website, so you could find it there. So head on over and check it out. I need to remember to put that in my notes. I do. All right. Let's see. So with the modern podcasting apps like Fountain and True Fans and Podcast Guru and so many others, you could actually send us Boost. You can set yourself up with a crypto wallet, which is very, very easy. And hey, look, I'm an old guy, okay? And I was able to figure this thing out pretty quickly and pretty easily and get some donations out to shows that I like to listen to. And if you'd like to know what those shows are, head over to our website, soarthespiritpodcast.com. Look for the recommended podcast area that we have and check them out. They've got some good stuff like Three Pillars Podcasts, No Agenda, Podcasting 2.0, The Soul Trap, so many more. Definitely check them out and you'll be blessed by it. That's what we have. So any comments or questions, please feel free to send them on over to us, and we would definitely, definitely appreciate that. Well, let's see. What do we got here? What was that? Okay, sorry. My board just kind of spazzed on me for a second there. I do apologize. All right. Well, as I said, what we're going to do here is we're going to get ready to say goodbye and good night. Well, thanks again for taking the time to be with us tonight. We really do appreciate it. Why don't you head on over to our website, soarthespiritpodcast.com. Click on that contact section. Send us over any comments or questions that you might have. And don't forget your prayer requests. Really, really important. We want to get that list going again. Also, while you're on the website, don't forget to check out the Support This Podcast tab. And if you could help us out with any contribution in any amount, we would greatly appreciate it. All right, folks. Make Bible study great again. Go podcasting, keep a steady stride, and win the lost, no matter the cost. God bless you. Take care.
Well, that's about it, really.